Well, it's amazing, isn't it, to know that we have been forgiven by God, to be able to stand before him with a clean conscience, knowing our sin has been put away as far as the east is from the west, and it's completely submerged in his blood shed at the cross. It's a wonderful and amazing thing. As we remember that night, of course, we remember Peter, and if anyone has sinned, it was Peter. You know, on that night, he betrayed Jesus. Even as Jesus was in effect in his presence, within his sight, he denied even knowing him three times as he was going to the cross to him, for him. But because of the cross, that was not the end of the story for Peter. He fell as low as he possibly could have done, but Jesus restored him. And we're now going to hear the denouement of Peter's story. Roger's going to bring it to us.
"Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thank you very much. Famous last words. I'm planning on not sharing for too long this morning. You're all looking forward to some fellowship and hot cross buns. But I just wanted to share a few reflections on that passage we've just read. But also, I'm a simple person and I like to ask the simple questions. And what's the question that we teach our children not to ask is why? And it's an important question. We almost say don't ask, but actually why is a really important question. So I just want to start with a few whys, maybe look at some scriptures that relate to this, and just unpack that very briefly before we share some fellowship together. Why? Why is it called Good Friday? Why do we remember this day? Why did it happen? So the etymology, that's the history of words, for Good Friday comes from the obsolete sense of pious, holy, of the word good. A less common example of expression on the obsolete sense of good include the good book. So when you hear of the good book, that's what it's referring to, because it doesn't make sense, does it, on face value, Good Friday. You think, what's good about this Good Friday? But actually, it's a holy Friday. It's a special Friday. Why do we remember this day? Spoiler alert, we don't know for sure that Jesus was born on December the 25th. He probably was not. But we do know that Jesus died on Good Friday, because Good Friday is linked to Easter. And Easter is to do with Passover, Pesach, as the Jews call it. That's why we always have to work out every year, when is Easter this year? Because it's based on the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. That's why it moves backwards and forwards. And that's the whole reason, isn't it? If we go back to the Jewish calendar, the history of the cross is steeped in the history of the original Passover, which was during the time of the Exodus, when God saves this nation from the oppression of the Egyptians and creates a nation of its own. What was the last plague? It was the Passover, wasn't it? The angel of death was going to come, and the eldest son would die, remember? So each Jewish family had to take a lamb, slay the lamb, and put the blood over the door frame. Now, we don't do that at Easter, do we? We put Christmas lights up, but we don't go putting blood's lambs over our lintels of our houses. But in that beautiful picture is Jesus. See, that's already prophesying forward to when Jesus would come. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming for his baptism? "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." So John knew it. He knew what had to happen. Jesus knew what had to happen. Jesus predicted his death many times, and we'll even see a reference to that when we look at some scriptures. I'm just going to read some scriptures to unpack some of the why. Just listen afresh to these passages. I'm sure you're familiar with them, but just let these passages minister to you today. Romans 5, verses 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Finally, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's why we remember today. We remember those things. And as Jim lovelyly set it up, that story with Peter's denial, he denied Jesus. And in business, the quality that people look for most is loyalty. I think in friendship, that's the quality we want the most, isn't it? Loyalty. You want people to be loyal. And in our day and age, if you've ever had to renew an insurance or something, loyalty doesn't seem to matter a lot in our time and place. But loyalty is really important. Peter stuffed up big time. Can you imagine that? Stuffing up that badly. Although there were others that stuffed up more. The religious leaders of the day who thought they were experts in scripture thought that Jesus was the devil. That's a bigger stuff up, I suggest. But he did stuff up, and he stuffed up big time. But we also know that he loved Jesus. We also know that hurt him deeply. And we know that when that cockerel crowed, isn't it, he wept bitterly. He felt it because he loved Jesus. And he had all those mixed emotions, as Val drew out, isn't it? What are you afraid of? Are we following Jesus at a distance? And we can come today and we can remember Good Friday. I often say every day is Christmas and every day is Good Friday. Every day we get to walk in the reality that God became man, came to earth, lived and died and rose again so that we can rise again, so that this relationship can be restored. And in John 21, we see this beautiful story of restored relationship. That is the crux of our faith. The number of people I know that don't actually understand the basics of the good news. The basics of the good news is, do you know what? God created the earth. There was a problem. Sin came in. It separated us back in Adam and Eve, back in the garden. God has a plan all the way through, pointing towards this central pivotal point in history where all of history before and all of history after will be affected by what Jesus did on the cross to bring us back into right relationship. See, Christianity is not a religion. Do you know that? It's not a religion. It's a faith. It's a relationship. It was the religious people that put Jesus on the cross. See, religion is about what you do. And it's about what you do more important than why. See, Jesus came to restore us to the Father. He had to pay the ultimate price. He had to lay down his life to do that. Sometimes we make our faith a religion. Sometimes we make Christianity about knowledge and information. And the more I study the Bible, the more I see that it's actually about relationship and action. That Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, a personal relationship. I don't know where you are on your journey. I'm not sure how close you feel to Jesus, but that is the defining thing. That what makes it different to every other religion is we can have a personal relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. So in John 21, we see this beautiful picture of Jesus tenderly dealing with him and thinking about those words, relationship and action. What does he say? Do you love me? That's a term of relationship. Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. There's an action there, doing something. Tend to my flock. The third time he's frustrated. But of course, Jesus knows what he's doing. He's restoring what was broken. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. See, Peter did a stuff up. We can all do stuff ups. And that's the power of the cross, isn't it? The cross, the ability for that cross to turn things around. My favorite words in the Bible is propitiation. Jesus is our propitiation. And that means he turns God's wrath, the punishment that's due to me, he turns it not to zero, he turns it to unmerited favor. And sometimes in our faith, we think we become a Christian, now we need to stay good. Now we need to keep earning our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. There is nothing we can do. But propitiation, it's like you're in trouble financially. You go to the cash point, and there's lots of minuses. Your business might default, and your house might be under thing. Your gas bill might have gone up. All the things that some people are even facing right now. But can you imagine if you go to the bank and you put the card in? It doesn't say zero when Jesus comes into our life. When you put the card in, it says 55 trillion. There's an amount in there that you can't spend. And that's the reality. That's the good news. So the good that we do is not to try and earn our way to heaven. That's a different religion. There's nothing we can do. The reality is what we do is from a place of love, and wow, God has adopted us. He's brought us into the family. He's restored us back to being his children, his sons and daughters. Do you see yourself as a son? Do you see yourself as a daughter? Is that the most important thing on your CV? You might not put it physically. It might be invisible at the top. But I can say, I'm a disciple whom Jesus loves. I can say the words of John. Can you say that? My heart is that you would engage with this as we look at this beautiful story from someone who, that surely is an unforgivable sin, but absolutely not, because Jesus restored him, because Jesus has got that power. The cross has got the power to bring us back into right relationship. I just want to finish with a few bits of scripture that Peter wrote, a much older Peter, a Peter that's gone through highs and lows and has matured. This is Peter writing. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that we don't have a religion. Thank you that we have a faith. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you. We thank you that this isn't just good news. This is amazing news. And it's a news that impacts every area of our life. So as we come to the foot of the cross and we say thank you for what you did to bring us back into relationship with you, Father. Lord, forgive me, forgive us for not walking in the fullness of this new life you've called us to. We want to walk in that fuller. We want to understand this every day. We want to know that we are your sons. We are your daughters. We want to hear your voice, and we want to live out what you've called us to be. We want others to hear and taste and see our lives, and so that we can point them to you, so that they can be restored to relationships. So we just do pray, even for those who aren't here, even some of our family who maybe aren't walking with you as we are, we just pray that today, amongst the hustle and the bustle and amongst the Easter eggs and the things this week, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you just work in our lives, on their lives, Lord, in this time of turmoil in the world, Lord, where the world is royally broken and man cannot fix it. We know the one who can. We know the answer, and his name is Jesus. So we just pray, Jesus, would your name be lifted high? Would people dwell on your name? Would you just do a move in and amongst us for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.